So, I've been a Pathfinder. Facebook was nice enough to remind me of Brian and I's for last month.
Yeah. Yes, I saw that. That was great.
Yeah, Brian's been a Pathfinder for a year and a half. It was Mantic Weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
How long have you been a Pathfinder?
I'm one of the OGs. When I first found out it was a thing, and I had met Pat at Adepticon before they moved it to the Renaissance, because he used to be one of the, was it Rogue Trader that used to do all that stuff? And a guy here in town knew him and introduced me, and I went, oh, this guy seems super cool. Yeah, I'd be interested in this. He goes, okay, well, I'm going to vet people, and I'll call you sometime, and we'll kind of set this up. And so the minute they said, hey, we're taking we're taking phone calls for the fight. You heard the sound barrier collapse as I ran to the phone, the computer to enter. Just a clap of thunder, and it's like boom, email sent.
So what game was?
Dread Bowl. Actually, I was doing Blood Bowl. I was doing terribly at Blood Bowl for the longest time, and we were having it up at the old Adeptcon, and I had gotten some award for it, and Mike Muller was the boss guy, and he gave me he said, well, I got the most touchdowns or whatever, because I'd had the Skaven team, which I'd made out of a bunch of old Necrons and these weird robotic rat heads, so I called them the Verminators, because thank you, why not?
That sounds awesome.
So perfect. And Ronnie came up and said, hey, I'm Ronnie from Mantic Games. We've got this game called Dread Bowl, if you want to do. Here's some books for stuff. And so I got the second, not the basic rule book, but the second wave rule book. And I went, oh, this looks really interesting. He said, come on down, I'll teach you how to play in 10 minutes. And I went down, and 10 minutes later, I went, oh my God, this game's amazing. Right? You mean I can lose in under 3 hours? Perfect.
Now you sound like me.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was one of those things that's like, if I'm gonna lose 1-0, I want to do it right away. And it's like, and it's not, you know, 3 hours later, I'm still behind, and it's just, oh, I've got one guy on the playing field. It's like, well, okay, this is fun, and I haven't played it since. I've just only played Dread Bowl. I tried. They have a league here in town. And I tried, and it's just ponderous. I mean, it's good in a league setting, but boy, I can't get by a lot of the. There's so many ways to lose your turn, and so I just went, no, I'm going to do it this way. And now it's, you know, that was my foray into that, and that was that, and then Dead Zone, because when they came out with the giant box set, they had all the stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and so I got that. And then brought it back to town, and that was when brought it back to the local game store, and they said, wow, this game is really great. And we had 12 people playing it at one time on the first thing, and they were just going nuts. And then third and fourth wave of Dreadball came, and I said, hey, you guys, here's this game. And we started playing. We had 16 people in a Dreadball league.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
It was incredible. And we had two – that was when they first started doing the tournaments to come to Adepticon. And then we had two, but you know they couldn't go. But still, we had just a massive turnout. It was all the Malifaux players here in town were just 100% on board. They went, oh, I like this, and they all chose different teams, which was really cool.
And
the local game store, we would have, you know, because I got a bunch of extra pitches from Pat or from Ronnie or from somebody. And then just kind of was, yeah, and so it was going really well. And, you know, and then they kind of slowed down it when they were working on second edition, and it just kind of fell apart. Well, and everybody, you know, other things have happened. And, but we've got, we're back to, I was initially doing a two-player league where we are doing, well, just random. I've got 20 teams, so it was a D20. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm playing Hobgoblins this week, and you're playing, oh, Rebs, god damn. so, but now,
I don't like playing against the
Rebs. It's a learning curve now, the new one. But now I've got another friend of mine started, and he's playing the Brockers, and then the lovely and talented Ellie Langton is playing the Void Sirens, which we have renamed the Maw of Maulers. And I was so excited that she said, "Well, yeah, I'd like to learn how to play this game." And I went, "Oh my, be still my heart." So I got a hold of Alex Landing from Ironheart Artisans and made custom action tokens a pair of knuckle dusters with painted fingernails, nice. And it just says Mauve Maulers on it. And it was so lucky.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's just really fun. But that's kind of my origin story, and then I've kind of dipped a toe in everything else, and I've only got three Kings of War armies, which is kind of good because that shows great restraint on my part.
It takes a lot to have a Kings of War army.
Yeah, I have one to fill.
Yeah, I started out with Abyssal Dwarves because I thought they were the coolest, and I could just rattle can gold paint, boom. Okay, I've got five units done, and just ink it and call it good. But then I went to Ogres next, and I went to Undead. And I had a bunch of Goblins just because I like them. And now it's like, oh, now they've got new Goblin models. Well, crud, now I got to start.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're sexy little critters.
I feel bad for interrupting, but this might be the longest cold open we've had, because we didn't really introduce you, John Jack.
Hey!
So today on Dead Zone, the podcast, is with Rick and Brian.
Or
Brian and Rick. We have our great buddy, John Jack.
Hi, this is the sound of my voice. Oh, God.
And that's why we do the show the way we do. Cause...
Yeah. Perfect. Well, you could have thrown this in somewhere else, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Brian's for.
Yeah, the question will be is, I'll listen to him like, is it worth moving to the front, or should we just keep it here?
Keep it right here. Geez.
Wow, yeah.
And then cue the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, and intro.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi table.
So, John, obviously you know that Brian and I like kind of dick around in the scenario.
Yeah.
So it's part of the reason why I wanted to get you on the podcast.
Oh, excellent.
Because you have created some amazing beer and pretzel games for Mantic Open Days.
Well,
and I want to know where those came from.
It is absolutely the hobby part of me. It's not altruistic at all. It's what will give me an excuse to buy 8 jet bikes. And so I think that was the first one that I came up with, it was the new Dead Zone set, mm-hmm. and I got those jet bikes and I went, oh my God. And so I messaged Pat and I went, hey, if I came up with like a chariot race, jet bike race game, what do you think the odds that I could get some more jet bikes? And he went, not a problem. And so I went, okay. So I got a hold of Joe Need at the time, and he said, well, how many do you want? And I went, well, 8. Be a sure. And he shot them out to me. And then I am absolutely a thieving magpie. There's nothing. I'm just a plagiarist. And it's like, okay, I went online and was looking up every single like race game or chariot game I could, and I put them all on a blender and hit frappe, and it's like, okay, I've got this nice row that I can work with. And I took the Dead Zone rules and went, okay, what can we do to up or down this? And so that was where I came up with the survival of the fittest game. I was like, oh, well, it's just, I just added another stat, and that was the reason. I love the stuff, and it's like, I want to do something with this that is easy to learn and will be easy to learn by people who may or may not be of diminished capacity, I'll just say. And so I did that one, and then the next one was, Dungeon Saga Barroom Brawl, where it was...
Absolutely.
It's so because much fun.
They were coming out with Terrain Crate stuff, and I went... Oh, there's a bar, you say? Oh, I wonder if it'll give me an excuse to buy a full set of bar furniture. So I said, okay, what do, and this is kind of this is the elevator pitch. It's like, what do your dungeon crawling heroes do when they're not crawling in a dungeon? Well, they go to the bar and they get into fights. And so I came up with this. It's basically the Dungeon Saga rules. And there's no weapons though, because the bartender, now you check those at the door. Yes. And so it's picking up dishes and beating people over the heads with them, or having the elf, who's one of the few guys that has ranged attacks, chuck a mug across the bar and nail somebody. But that one took a little bit of, because the dwarf is just he's just you can't do anything to him. So I lowered his armor stat, I think. And I kind of was messing around with a few other things. And the magic users were really kind of weak in something like this. So, you know, and it's just lots of play testing. I had a lot of time on my hands at the time and doing stuff with people here in town. And so I did those. And then, and so I did those. Those were the first two. And then I think I had tried to do a thing called Mobbeast Roundup, where it's – Yep. And this was using Kings of War rules before Vanguard came out. Right. Well, now I'm in the process of kind of retooling it for Vanguard rules, because it'd be 1,000 times easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that one, and then I did I had done if Doomball was after that. Yeah, Doomball was after that. Again, it's
and
right
I
with
love
the,
that one.
That is it's just Rocket Ball with tunnel runners.
Well, and that's what I think so fun about it, is it's such a simple concept. I mean, it also was a spilt drink and a stolen hat by Mal, but that's beside the point.
But no, those are so much fun, like seeing those at Adepticon.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, people just come up and play them. Aren't in semantic games, you know, as much as we are, obviously. But like, just those casual players being able to kind of get them to check something out and do something fun.
Well, it was really funny when I was running, 2 years ago when I was running your Doom Ball. Mm-hmm. The random people are like, oh, well, what's this? and go into it, and it's like, wait, this is an actual game? And I was like, actually, no, this is one of our other Pathfinders. Just created this for something fun to do. But the models are downstairs.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if I could, man, if I could figure out a way to monetize it, I'd probably be all right. But it is 100% all for, you know, it's just for funsies. And it's, you know, because Blake Schrode, the first time he did Survival of the Fastest was at Gen Con, and he started, oh, you know what else you could do? And you could do this, and you could do this, and you could do this. And I went, perfect. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to go,
Well, Blake's kind of big into his racing.
Yes. And here's this thing. Now take it and do what you want. You know, and it's because it's just, and I, you know, Jeff Burbage he went absolutely bananas with the, oh, and he's got the dials now, the 3D printed dials. I'm like, dude, what? I was taking apart, I was cutting up pieces and just gluing the bikes to them, and then I had to make a little place to set your die to show how fast you were going. And ever since then, I've been kind of going, okay, I've got this. I know someone now who's got a laser printer and a laser cutter. It's like, okay, now what do we do with this? And I just went through and redid. I reposted the new that has new stats for like the mono wheel bike, the Sky Razor, and the other ones are on there. And again, it's another one of those. There's a game company called This Has Not Been Playtested Games. And
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of did some, and it just. There's some things that probably could be better.
So two more questions on that.
Yeah.
When are we gonna get a Star Saga brawl?
Oh, jeez.
Cantina Crackdown.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Trademark that right now.
And then...
Well, it's funny if I might interject. Like, I was staying with Adam and Ben Kinney.
Yep.
The first Adepticon that we went to, and we played Barroom Brawl at the I forget if it was at Mantic Night or if it was just around.
No, it was
in between tournaments. And yeah, because it was just in the room. And the whole ride back from Adepticon, which is like a good 4-hour drive almost.
Yeah, it's 4 or 5 hours.
We were talking about how could we do Star Saga, because we were huge into Star Saga that year.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with it. And so we were just kind of bouncing off the walls and stuff like that to like, man, you know, we don't want it to be an exact lift of Barroom Brawl because it's sci-fi and it's new. But yeah.
So we need your help on that one.
Well, see, the main thing that I think that makes the Barroom Brawl something different is the random events. And I kind of retooled it as well when I did the, because initially it was, you draw a random event at the end of the round, but then it's like, well, if it only goes 4 rounds, I've got like 30 some events, and there wasn't enough randomness to it. So now I've got it where if either side during an attack or defense rolls double ones, you draw an event right then.
Yes.
And I think that would be something to come up with for the, what did you call it? I immediately forgot.
Cantina Crackdown.
Oh, okay, quick, write that down. is those random events and stuff like that, and who you'd have in it, because, yeah, Star Saga's got enough of those characters that you could do, good heavens, there'd be...
There's so many characters.
The fact that you can create your own.
And you can create your own.
Exactly, yeah, that's another thing that'd be really fun. And they're all fairly well-balanced, too. I mean, I kind of like the dice mechanic a little better, but, you know... Dungeon Saga is a good mechanic for when it came out, but I think they kind of cleaned it up with Dungeon Saga, and the AI works a little bit better too. But yeah, that, oh boy, I've got some time on my hands, and I've got a job where I've got a lot of idle time, so I'll be sitting down. It's like, okay, what could happen in a, you know, it's
by all means, I will totally play Tested Live.
We'll throw that up on Twitch.
I'll see if I can come up with something for Tabletop Simulator. Just a heads down. look, you know that thing? Oh, geez, that'd be awesome.
Speaking of live stream, you also have...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Crippled Fox Gaming, and I've got some stuff that I did some Facebook Live stuff, and then I did some stuff that's online on YouTube. I want to get back to doing some more of that, and now since, you know, things are kind of moving again, I can get on there and do some kind of my how-tos, because people have asked me how I did my islands for Armada and stuff like that, and it's just going to be, I just need to sit down for, you know, 20 minutes and do it. But I did, I can't remember if I did that one, if I did, because for Mantic Open Day, I did a live stream from, I think my Barroom Brawl live stream I ended up accidentally doing through my daughter's YouTube page. I need to like download it and redo it through mine, but I think I did, because I did another one called Wingit Dogfight.
Yes.
Which I did through that, and it's just, again, it's just a plagiarism of Vanguard, and there's the game, the World War II game called What a Tanker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of mashed those two together, and this is the stepchild that they had. And I went, oh, sure. And I like, and you know, why would you own one Wingit when you could get four of them and have them on the table just flying around in circles, not hitting each other? Or
yeah,
luckily.
I was like, Rick, as Rick looks around the room.
I got one.
But just everything about those models was so characterful, and Rob Berman's the other great Goblin fan, and I just, they're just so cobbled together.
Really?
it's so good, and it really lends itself to that sort of chaotic exchange of things. Again, it's just the beer and pretzels game.
So what are you going to do with Vanguard? I mean, not Vanguard. What are you going to do with Armada?
Oh, I've got something kind
of... I knew it.
I can't remember if I sent this to you or who I sent it to, but it's okay. There was, what, a couple years ago, there was on Facebook, there was that giant rubber duck that was around in various ports and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And underneath, someone had very cleverly wrote, "We release the Kwaken." So I said,
I'm pretty sure you sent that to me.
Okay, yeah. And so that's what I did. I basically took the hunting the Kraken rules And since I don't have an original bone in my body, I just...
Yep.
It's we, lease, L-E-A-S-E, the Quacken. And so I went on and on...
I am showing Brian it right now because I want to see that you said it.
On Oriental Trading Company, there is a skeletal rubber duck. And it will fit on a 75 millimeter base.
Oh my goodness.
So I've got, and I kind of spray, I sent the early version to Pat, and he kind of said, well, I kind of want to do it a little more seriously. And I went, okay, well, I'll do another one. But this thing, it's the same rules as with the release the Kraken, but I also, hang on, I'm trying to click around and see if I can find it. There are random events for every, for any time you do damage to it, instead of getting well, you get points for it, but then any time you do damage to it, let's see, if Mississippi moves in 1 inch
of whack attack, skeletal baby ducks board your ship, boarding action has a CS of 4.
Yeah, you're rolling a d10, and there's, because I always love my rotten charts, so you got, yeah, the initial one is 1 to 2 is, you know, you get boarded by baby ducks. And the rest of it is like 1 points, 2 points, 3 points, 4 points. And then if you roll a 10 on a D10, right, it's like the ship takes 5 damage as viscous fluid and a horrible stench overwhelms the crew. And that's pretty much it. But when you do damage, it releases these little floating eggs, and they're going to randomly disperse around they'll randomly disperse around the sea. And so I'm trying to figure it out. I haven't done any play testing. This is all still in its infancy. So let's see. I've got it. Okay, yeah. And so the eggs will drift, you know, D10 in the direction of the pointy part of the D10. If the eggs come into contact with the Kraken itself, either through additional movement or drifting, they will be placed on the other side. But they're just going to randomly move around, and it's going to be the ships going around just picking up loot, that kind of thing. And so... now I got to get all my ships all painted up and or even just, you know, some way to get them to do that. But I want to get it on I think a 4x4 might still be okay. But, you know, it's going to be how big this is, how many ships you want in this. And, you know, because I want to get at least 4 players for something like it, like Adepticon or something like, or for Man, but just that kind of thing. But, Pat had come up with a thing, and Shane Neural had found a ceramic octopus at a craft store, and just basically went around and just cut off the tentacles and has them around on the playing board, and it's like an obstacle course. And
okay.
And that's what Pat was kind of talking about. It'd be kind of an obstacle course, kind of moving this. Like, and I went, oh, that would, okay, I kind of like that too. But then if there was a random movement of those things as
yes.
Kind of a neat thing. Because
why would a Kraken sit still with his tentacles?
Yeah, that's kind of a valid point.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's going to be wiggling around, and you know, you can attack them, and if you get one, then another one comes up. But yeah, it's just everything about it just lends itself to, it's like, yeah, because we played, when I did a Facebook Live, we did the, what was it called? The Vortex one? Avoid the Vortex, or it was basically, we did that scenario where there's a vortex.
The opposite of Portal on Vanguard.
Yes, yeah.
And exactly what it is.
Where you go into the point.
Yeah, and I found I am not good at that. I have 3 ships, and I get all wound up. It's like, okay, I'm going to change my speed to 1. Oh, no, I need to move further than that. And I lost the second turn. Is that when I...
I lost the
end of the second turn. I had both my ships were gone because I'm a terrible judge of distance. So.
Sounds like me playing against Brian and Dreadbolt. So it's kind of funny, like, so obviously we missed out on Adepticon, we missed out on Gen Con, we missed out on these things, but having you on here is just that reminder of, like, everybody kind of gives Brian and I grief sometimes about how excited we get about our games. I was like, oh yeah, that's why I love John Jack, because he's right there.
Well, it's you know, I'm secretly a 10-year-old boy at all times, and so
I'm
it's
not secretly.
Right. it's just, it's, you know, if you're going to have fun, just go, I refuse to stifle my joy. That's kind of what I'm going to get that, you know, one of the tattoos I'm going to get is going to be that. And it's just going to be because if it's not fun, then what's the point? Because,
so,
you know.
So the other day, my daughter, my son and I are in the store and Rachel's 14 and Levi's 11 now. Mm-hmm. And we're walking around and I don't remember what I said, but my daughter looked at me and said, you know, Levi's the most mature out of us. And I'm like, you know, that's not wrong.
You are exactly. That's exactly right. It's like, I pay my bills and I have a job and I do stuff. But boy, if we're going to sit down and have fun, it's going to be, yeah, you better uncork.
Yeah. I have two kids, but my wife has three.
Yeah. Right. Bless her heart, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
So what is 2021 going to look like for John?
That's a good question. I mean, I've got a daytime job now, which helps, because that means I've got weekends off. So
I love all you people with your daytime jobs and weekends off.
Believe me, it's the first time in 21 years I've had that, except for the foray into another nightmare. Daytime job, which I won't mention because it it was an absolute S show, and I just went, okay, I see, okay, universe, I get it. I tried to rise above my and you pimp slapped me, and I'll go right back to where I was. But it's well, last year actually started out kind of in a turmoil, and then it kind of got better, and then it kind of dipped down and got worse, and then it just kind of plateaued, and so it just kind of stayed. It's a lot better than it was. I mean, all things considered, I think I came out of it being kind of on an upswing. Like I said, a new job, a new significant person in my life, and. And I have a step bulldog now, which is a double-double. The lovely and talented Ellie Langton is another person who is, she's never played any of these games like this. And she tried Dreadball and liked it. And I said, well, would you mind sitting down and I'm going to do a demo where I'll just sit and teach you how to do this. So it was, you know. Just absolutely no history at all with miniatures games. And she said, sure, I'll sit down. I'm not really interested in naval battles.
Pretty good, too.
She did awesome. And then after that first one, she went, well, dang it, now I might need to get this. And I went, oh, you know, scrap this.
It's always nice hearing those words.
Yeah. Well, and especially because we did the Hellboy game as well. And she liked that. And it was just something different that I never had played with anybody who had never done it before. And they said, oh, yeah, this is really fun. Because it was with co-op, I think it was a big draw, and the theme was a big draw, too.
Okay, I think I figured it out. And I need your help with it, John Jack.
Okay.
I need somehow for you to figure out how to manipulate these games and make a Yahtzee game. Because that's the game my wife actually likes, is Yahtzee.
Okay,
So did we're running around the board, and we get doubles. Like.
I have something close to it. Did you ever? There's a game called Cosmic Cows, and it's a two player. It's a board game, but it's also a Yahtzee game. So what you've got is the board flips open, and it's got one alien spaceship flying saucer on one side, another alien spaceship flying saucer on the other side, and it's got these little tiny plastic cows in the middle. And it's got a score chart, and the way you suck these cows up into your spaceship on your tractor beam is with Yahtzee scores. Huh. Like, oh, I got 5 sixes, boom, and the cow goes all the way up and into your cargo hold. And it's awesome. I started playing it, and I went, what the heck is this game? And I went, oh, my God, it's just Yahtzee with cows and spaceships. And I went, perfect. Okay, well, Well, challenge accepted. I will see what I can do. That might be okay. I got to shake the ice off that skill tree, and I'll kind
of. Yeah, she supports me in all kinds of different ways with this whole gaming thing, but she will not play any of my games.
Okay, that okay. Well, it's dice based, so it's just D6s.
Yep.
Because here's the thing: when I saw Battle Angel Alita the movie. I saw Motoball, and I went, oh, my God, I have to turn that into something. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at Dreadball, and I went, okay, what can I do with this? And I went, oh, wait a minute. I've got all those random hex tiles.
Yes.
If I can do that in a figure eight, well, I didn't have enough. So, hey, presto, Mantic is selling that expansion set for pennies on the dollar, whatever it was. So I got another one. So now I have, like, 16 of these hex tiles. And I was trying to figure out how to make it a figure eight track. And I was trying to do it this way. And I was trying to think about it this way. And it just was, it was getting too clunky and not fun at all. And so now, yeah, that Yahtzee might be an interesting, okay, if you roll this many of these, it's this. If you roll this many of these, it's this. All right. Okay.
That could be a fun way to do it. A friend of our show, Michael, is huge into Battle Angel Alita. And to the extent like we were trying to think of some kind of speedball version of that game too that we could work with Dreadball mini stuff. I even painted up the wild card character to look like Alita.
I have that right here, and I even put a little dagger on the blade on her arm, and I have it. It's been sitting here mocking me for about 8 months. And I just need to sit down and do it. Yeah. I saw that went, oh, that's 100% what this is.
Yes. That is so cool. I feel bad. Like, I don't play that team at all. So I'm like, Alita never sees the pitch. One of these days I'll have to. I went big into the comic, the manga. And they have so many different characters that participate in that sport. And I was just kind of going through the list in the Dreadball book. It's like, yeah, you could be that. You could be that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was. I've got something that it's on the back burner, but it's also – it's one of those that kind of went, oh, okay, there's this. Okay. And it's, you know, it's all just spinning gears and smoking tires. And it's
so got to get some traction. A Star Saga Battle Royale Canty mashup and a Yahtzee. Right. Year 2021 is pretty full.
There you go. I'm glad. Well, not that I'm glad that Adepticon isn't coming around, but it takes the weight off my shoulders that I don't have to come up with something by then. So,
there's a little bit more freedom in that.
Yes. That's true. Not having not having to save every single day of vacation so I can go to these anymore too.
Right.
It's helpful, but it's missed though.
So speaking of those events. You obviously run a lot of demos of these games, and at the booth or even these inventions that you've come up with. So for those listeners out there that you know are maybe in that position where it's like, hey, I just got this new game for the holidays or something like that. I want to get people into playing it, try it out. Do you have any advice for those listeners on like what runs a good demo?
It's the fun part. It's the making it fun is always the best thing to do. That's one thing that I don't know if it's Martin at Mantic that's coming up with their demos, but they are doing their demos now so clean and so quick that it really makes it fun. You're not having to go through you're not front loading them with a lot of information.
Yeah, as a Pathfinder with the Armada demo set.
Yes. Yes.
So amazingly quick and easy to show somebody how to play that game.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the same way with the intro to the Hellboy game. It's quick and easy, and that's you know if you want to get somebody interested, you've got to show them it's fun and prove to them that it's fun. And it's a lot of I am not competitive in the least. I'm just there to go, oh, hooray, I'm outside playing with other humans. And it's just the dice. I mean, the dice are just perfect for me because there's that dopamine hit or oxytocin hit of anticipation as you see those dice roll and what they come up. And when it's spectacular success, It's through the roof. Even better is catastrophic failure. It's because I've gotten to the point where that's even more enjoyable. Because it's like, I mean, I did a demo of the Hellboy game, and we could not roll that skull on the event dice. It was just awful, awful, awful. And we still were able to win the first scenario. I think, you know, show them that it's fun. Really, really know what you're going to kind of say. I mean, you can, there's a way to do demos where it's just by rote. But if you can kind of throw a little, throw excitement, mm-hmm. you know, because, and I, the best thing you can learn is that not everyone is going to be as excited as you are, and that's fine, because it's, you know, it's like in a movie or in a theater, it's like, you know, not everyone is right for every role. Not every game is right for every person. There's people who are like, they like asset management, or there's people who just like combat. There's people who like to min-max things, or there's
Nazi.
Nazi.
Well, even that's that anticipation of, it's a push your luck. That's another thing I like about a couple of Mantic games, is there's the push your luck aspect to it, where it's just high risk, high reward. Like Dreadball, it's just like, why wouldn't I go for that third dash and an evade at the same time?
With no dice.
I've got one die, and you roll that six train, and it just chugs down the road, and it's just great.
Absolutely.
But yes, I would say, yeah, it's the always have fun, and you know, be very lighthearted about things, and don't try to explain things all at once, because then you'll get tongue tied, and then they'll kind of lose track of what's going on. Here's how you move. Well, it's the way King's War is. Here's how you move. Here's how you shoot. Here's how you fight. Mm-hmm. If you get those three things down, then you can go. Now, if you want to learn more about this other stuff, we can go in and do that. That's what I'm going to be doing. We're doing another demo of Armada at the local game store here in Lincoln, Nebraska, Gauntlet Games, on the 9th. And they've got an area in their store that's blocked off from other people, so it'll be socially distanced. Everybody's going to be masked up. The intro demo is fine, but there's also guys down there who I want to sink my teeth into all of the sandwich. I'm going to take this hoagie and bite it in half right out of the middle.
Yep.
So it's going to be kind of like that. That's why I got my orcs done. I want to get my Basileans done. So we can go into, and there will be people that will come up who have been waiting for this, and they go, okay, this is how this works. This is how this works. And you can get it in a turn, because I mean, you got two ships in the demos. Here's how this works. That's all you need to know. You know, and that's another thing about Mantic games, is they are built for that.
Yeah. You know,
they're very lean. They're built for speed. So that's a, you know, boy, long story longer. That's how you have fun with demos.
Hey.
Listen to somebody prattle on, and then you take what he said and you sift about 90% of it out. Here's the little nuggets of wisdom.
Hey, I'm Chopper.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rob.
From Mobile Armor Radio.
And you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian in the morning.
Never heard of it.
I don't even know who those guys are.
So, obviously, no AdeptCon for us this year.
Right.
The plan is 22.
Yeah.
So, you have also done, I mean, so you make these minigames. You have a YouTube channel that you've done these demos.
Uh-huh.
You've made a commercial for a drink for Dreadball.
Yeah.
And you've also done some cosplay.
Yes, I graduated in 1988 with a theater degree that I have never put to use, except for that. I was in three shows with my son, and you know, finally getting around to, I'm a man of a certain age, and it's just because I don't know when to say no to things, and Pat will ask me, hey, could you dress up like a Dreadball player? And I went, sure. And that was when
Dreadball, looks so uncomfortable, man.
Dreadball Extreme came out. And I went, okay, I need to figure this out. So I went and got, I would find just cheap crap everywhere. And I also found that little kids' catcher's knee pads fit my upper and lower arms really well. So I got that and some, you know, just some Lycra and spandex stuff. And I don't have a dance belt, but I really pad because I don't, it's like, no one wants to see that, including me. So, and it's just, you know, it's just another reason to be silly and have fun. And but I did that. And then I was the governor when the Walking Dead came out. And that was the most I've ever sweated in a thing. Because I did the initial one because I got a wig and shaved my goatee into the what Joanie called the molestache. And I was doing that for a while. And then the next day I was the governor with an eye patch with the same kind of the khaki vest and the pants stuff. And then the last one was I took my Dreadball outfit and made it into just riot gear. And it was wearing an eye patch all day. Not one of those cool see-through ones, mind you. Wearing an eye patch, and I have terrible vision. So I was not seeing in stereo all day and couldn't see anything anyway. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, like I said. Yeah, it's just being silly, and then, you know, I take it all off, and I don't do that anymore because I did the Dreadball thing when they came out with the second ad and I put that stuff on, and I was a little bit slimmer, and so that worked out okay. But it was also, Pat said, he finally, after doing this for how many years, said, you know, you don't have to wear that all day. And I went, why did you not tell when I was at Gen Con sweating like a sinner on a preacher's lap for 8 hours? So
I think you should do it one more time.
I
think got, 22, I've got, the three of us should.
I've got the stuff. I mean, don't think I'm more than happy to. I've got, you know, and I've got contact. I've got a pair of contacts that I got for some reason, and it's like I'm keeping them hydrated, so, you know, just in case.
Nice. Yeah, I think the three of us should do something for Adepticon, even if it's like just for the Mantic Knight.
Yes, yeah. That would be super fun, and that would, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know Brian's just going to buy a trench coat and say, hey, I'm a Reb.
Yeah.
But, so I won't lie. Halloween this year, I'm walking down the aisle in the grocery store and everything. And what do they have? They have a hammerhead shark costume.
What?
I almost got it right then and there.
Sure.
For a sphere.
Oh. I'm like,
that would be so cool. So the downside was it was kind of expensive. For
yeah.
But like that's kind of my other option. Like I could just go as Johnny Reb and with the coat and some goggles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a little Nerf gun. Or you know, maybe I see if I can track down one of those hammerhead outfits.
I think I'm stuck in the hole. Either I'm playing an ogre or an orc or a marauder or something of that.
That's how he's built.
Yeah. Well, same here. I'm, you know, a man of a certain height and weight. When I started reading the Armada book, I can't not go shopping for pirate gear now because I've got I did a Halloween costume of a Shadowrun orc street samurai.
Oh, nice.
So I have these teeth that were supposed to be vampire teeth, but I put them on my bottom teeth. So they jut up like orc or ogre teeth. So now I've got an eye patch. I've got those. I need to get a pirate hat and a jacket and a shirt. And I'm considering I want to read the fluff stories in the Armada book as an ogre mercenary. That's like, hey, it's your buddy, whatever the I forget what the there's a character that was in there. He had a quote. It's like I'd rather work for pirates than businessmen because you know where you stand with pirates or something like that. And it was Dog Jaw Gut Rod or something like that was his name. And I went, ooh, I need to find me a cool hat or a head bandana and a really cool shirt.
Nice. But,
oh yeah, I'd be on. Oh, okay, yeah, we might have to do that.
We will coordinate something. It will be a blast.
Sure.
Especially if we're at the booth, you know, running game demos all day.
Absolutely. It's like, who is this clown? It's like, yep, yeah, that's me. Look at me. Please stay away.
Yeah.
Don't touch the hat.
All right.
Well, I think that just about does us for time. Unfortunately.
Well, you know, thanks. Thank you for letting me get on here and just it's been a while since I've got to just blather on about things. I mean, Ellie, bless her heart, is patient enough, but you know, getting to talk with you guys and putting this out into the world is going to be interesting. And people will go, dear sweet Jesus, will they let them talk?
Yeah, we keep getting that feedback too. It's like, those guys just kind of talk about stuff.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's been so fun catching up with you, John. Jack. Yeah,
absolutely. You guys too. And since flights are going to be pretty cheap for a while, I need to get up to Michigan because it'd be easier to fly than to drive, I think.
Oh my God, John Jack in Michigan, please.
I'll have to swing up to Marquette though and get something from the Joe Pera shop. Or if they have one of that up there, because I was funny when you had mentioned that. I was like, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is. I'm like, well, of course you do. Yeah, that would be amazing. Well, it'd be a good like weekend to come up and do something when things kind of settle down.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. I'm pretty sure you. There's a bed here.
Nice. And a full basement too. So
yes, with a 4x8 gaming table.
Oh, nice. Sure, I'd be on board with that.
That regularly has both Dreadball and Dead Zone set up on it at once, as I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's what we're getting ready to do right now, John Jack. After we get off of this, we're getting ready to play Dead Zone Dreadball.
Rad. Or yeah, I saw that stuff on
Dead Zone Ball?
Dread Zone Ball Death.
Yeah, sure. Something like that.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm on board. Well, I had such a good time when we did the Vanguard thing over at Pat's.
Yep.
That was so much fun.
It was a blast, and I'm still, to this day, kicking myself for how many rules we got wrong.
Oh, I know, I watched it just went,
it's not that you got the rules wrong, you just got the game wrong.
We just played the wrong game.
Right, right. Oh, God.
And then it still went up.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, that was like the first demo I did for Armada, I did the boarding rules wrong. We just rolled the D10s. It's like, oh, that's how much damage it does. Like, oh, crud. And I was like, and I couldn't go back and edit it because I had done it live. So I went, okay, maybe we need to learn how to do some things.
Well, as long as we kind of go back and say, yeah.
This isn't right, but it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was not right. This is how you actually play.
Well, it's the Jesse way of doing demos. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of doing this stuff. Do you know the rules? Nah, most of them. We're kind of going to improv this.
I think Jesse'd be a fun one to be on here, but it would have to be like a R-rating episode.
Oh, yeah. It'd have to be, I'm going to sit here with the bleep bloop.
Dead Zone, the podcast after dark.
The speakeasy Dead Zone, the podcast.
All right, John.
Well, thank you guys. This has been amazing. I was so pleased when they said, hey, would you be up to... You better believe I'd be up to...
Well, it was also because we miss you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I miss everybody, too. It's really nice to see everybody. I was really bummed when Adepticon went south, and when Gen Con... And we all knew it was coming. And, you know, Adepticon this year, I think Gen Con this year is going to be the same. I think they're just going to win.
Probably.
Small groups, you can still get stuff done. You know, Skype and Zoom and all that stuff is still good because you're still seeing people. It's not. It's a little bit less, you know, huggy, but, you know, go get yourself a giant pillow and... And watch
that.
Just do that, or a giant waste paper basket, like if you're me or Rick. It's like,
yeah,
it's pretty solid.
Just carry it around with you when you want to give somebody a hug. Hug it.
this smells like trash. Oh well.
I thought the idea was that it was a clean one, not one that was used.
Oh, no, I just got whatever's available. Oh, we got the 55 gallon. Yeah, I'm not going to the recycling thing. So.
Oh man! Well, it's been great talking to you, John Jack. You have yourself a good one.
Thanks. You too. You guys have a good day, everybody. You know, stay safe and stay protected. No, happy New Year. Happy 2021.
Yes.
Happy 2021. The distant future.
The distant future.
Because everybody's doing tropical islands and stuff, oh, yeah. For Armada. Oh, stuff for Armada. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 icebergs.
Nice.
Here, all kind of, and it was literally just, okay, I've got all this extra crappy styrofoam. It's like chop, 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 chop. And I'm making bases for them, and I'll probably post them later today. So
nice.
It's just, man, I got my orc fleet done, and now Ellie wants to get a dwarf fleet, which comes out next month, and then two other people here in town are getting dwarf fleets. So I went, okay, so it'll be the orcs versus three different dwarf players. All right.
Sure.
Bring it on.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at us. We had every faction against the Rebs forever.
It's like the only Rebs player.
Woo!
Woo! Go Rebs!
I've got it.